For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How are you now? How are you right now? Masters weekend. Technically, it's probably Friday when you're listening to this, but the Masters are going on. Do you like watching golf? I do. Anyways, we're not here to talk about golf. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and we're here to talk about your Montreal Canadiens taking on the New York Islanders on the road in one of their final games of the season. Final games of the year, really, because there's not going to be any playoffs for the Habs. And this was an interesting one because it was a crucial game for the New York Islanders. They've only got, or they only had going into the game, 2 points on Washington in the Metro. So they're in a battle right now where it's either stay in third in the Metro, which, as I said last episode, is a mediocre division, or fall into a wild card battle with Pittsburgh and Detroit. Really, it's tight for that last wild card spot. So you want, if you're the New York Islanders, to stay in that third place in the Metro. As mediocre as that division is, you want to be there. You do not want to be battling it out for the last wild card spot, because whoever gets that last wild, the Lightning have over 90 points. They're well ahead of anybody who's in that position. So, you know, you're putting yourself in the dead last wild card spot. You're going to have to go against the top team in the conference, and that's not a position that you want to put yourself in. So this was a big one for the Islanders. What were they going to bring in terms of effort? So we're going to take you through the recap, everything that happened in that game. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, Masters are on right now, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And this game between the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Islanders, well, it started incredibly low event. 5 minutes into the game, there's one shot on goal, and it's for the Isles. That's it. One shot. The Habs don't get their first shot until about 9 minutes into the game, and it's a Nick Suzuki breakaway, which ends up being stopped. And look, it's just, there's not a lot going on either side. The Isles look scared to make any mistakes, and the Montreal Canadiens look like they just don't really give a shit. They're happy to let this kind of play out the way that it is. We get all the way down to the final minutes of the period, and it's the Habs striking first. Nick Suzuki's down low with the puck, passes up to Cole Caulfield hanging out near the point. He puts it on a platter for Jordan Harris, and he sends a clapper. Juraj Slafkovský's parked out in front, creating havoc in front of Semyon Varlamov, and the puck goes all the way through, 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. It looked like maybe Slafkovský got a touch on that, but they did review it and had a look, and no, that's Jordan Harris's goal, unfortunately. No point for Juraj Slafkovský on that one, although he probably deserved one for his work in front of the net. That is your final score at the end of, well, not your final score, that's your score at the end of one period, 1-0 for the Habs. And we go into the second period. This is where the New York Islanders start to really take over the game. They're showing a lot more urgency to their game. You can tell that this means a lot to them because they want to get into the playoffs. And about 5 minutes into the period, Pierre Engvall picks up a loose puck in the offensive zone, circles around to the high slot, and finds a way to get that in through traffic, and it's all tied up at one. By the midway point of the period, they've doubled up the Canadians on shots, but it's only 12-6. So you're seeing a significantly more control from the Islanders in that period, but still not a whole ton of events in general. Now, they did start to ratchet up the intensity, at least. Brendan Gallagher got into a spirited tilt with Jean-Gabriel Peugeot. Not even sure why that happened, but Gallagher seemed to land a really nice overhand right while he was down at the end of that fight. Spirited tilt, enjoyed that one, and they're starting to get a little bit more physical. And frankly, the Montreal Canadiens owe a debt of gratitude to Samuel Montembeau for that period. He made a lot of really good saves. They had a couple of breakaways. Pierre Engvall had a really good chance to get his second of the game at the side of the net late-ish in that period. But Montembeau was not giving them anything easy. He was dialed in, and he kept that game 1-1 all the way through to the end of the second period. Early third period, though, the Montreal Canadiens all of a sudden flipping the script a little. Now, you're seeing the Islanders gripping their sticks a little bit too tight. They're again getting back into that kind of nervous-looking hockey, and the Habs take advantage. Some really good movement from the top line in the offensive zone. Juraj Slafkovský throws it up to the point. Johnny Kovacevic eventually gets it and finds Cole Caulfield on the other side, lower towards the net, and he sneaks one through. And I mean sneaks it, because it got hidden under the padding in the net, and the ref couldn't see it, so he initially didn't call it a goal, and it was Juraj Slafkovský that had to point it out to him. And it is a goal for Cole Caulfield, really hot lately with his shooting, isn't he? And it's 2-1 for the Montreal Canadiens, but it does not last long. The urgency kicks back in for the New York Islanders. You can see it from the moment the puck dropped after that goal went in, or after they figured out the goal was in. They were much more involved, much more intense in their search for a tying goal, and they get it. Adam Pellick gets a shot. He misses it completely, but the puck's just sitting behind the net, and Casey Cizikas skates around behind the net, gets a wraparound with Semen Montembeau down and out, and just like that, we're tied up at 2-2. Just past the midway point, Johnny Kovacevic throws a puck over the glass. It's a huge opportunity for the New York Islanders with a power play. But the best chance on that power play goes to Yoel Armia for the Montreal Canadiens. The Islanders' power play looks a lot like the Montreal Canadiens' power play when they're at their absolute worst. I would not be feeling super hot about that power play if I'm the Islanders going into the remaining games of this season or the playoffs. Anyways, nobody can score from there out. We're off to 3-on-3 overtime, and the Habs get an early 2-on-1. It's Juraj Slafkovský and Nick Suzuki, but it's stopped. The Islanders get the puck after that, and we're seeing that nervous hockey from them again. They look scared to cross center ice. Eventually they do, though, and Brock Nelson finds Kyle Palmieri near the faceoff dot. He goes down to the bottom of the circle and snipes one upstairs from a terrible angle. 3-2 is the final score. A huge win for the New York Islanders, because the Pittsburgh Penguins won their game. So that could have been very dicey for them if they didn't pick up that win. Dicey, B. And honestly, it might be a huge thing for the Habs that they didn't pick up that extra point. Because if you take a look at the standings, Ottawa did win their game, so that was good. That pushes Ottawa a little bit further away from the Habs. But the Habs were only 1 point behind Arizona going into that game. So now they're tied with Arizona, but Arizona has the tiebreaker to keep them ahead of the Habs or higher in the standings, which means that the Habs remain in fifth last right now with the fifth best odds at the number one overall pick. So that extra point would have caused them to leapfrog Arizona. And personally, I don't think that teams who cannot afford to pay their hotel bills deserve to have top five picks. Yeah, I'm picking on Arizona. I don't like that franchise, and I think they're a joke. But we're not here to talk about how big of a joke the Arizona Coyotes are. We still got some things that we need to go over from that game and about the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm talking, of course, about the silver lining of the night, which for me, I'm going to go with Cole Caulfield. And I know what you might be thinking, some of you anyways. What about Samuel Montembeau? Don't worry, I'm going to get to him. Cole Caulfield I'm picking because he now has 25 goals in the year with that one that he got against the Islanders. And it is not an unreasonable thing to think that in the remaining three games, he could get five more and potentially hit the 30-goal mark. Even if he doesn't, even if he finishes at somewhere 25 to 28, you have to consider that pretty wild given that he's shooting at just a shade over 8%. I've talked about this a few times, right? His career shooting percentage prior to this season, so if you remove this season entirely, was 14%. So he's still a far cry from where he normally shoots, and he's still got a shot at actually hitting 30 goals. This really illustrates how much you might be able to expect from him if he's shooting at a normal pace, right? If the pucks are going in the way that they tend to do for him, he's going to have a lot more pucks finding the back of the net. And that would make a huge difference for the Montreal Canadiens. If the Habs had an additional, let's say he could only score 15 more goals than he did, right? Puts him somewhere near 40, right? That would have them in a much different place in the standings right now. We wouldn't be even talking about bottom five. Now let's go a step further. Let's say he could get 20 more goals and he was at the 45 or 22 more goals in the 45 to 50 range. That would be worth at least, I would say, 5 to 10 more wins. It depends kind of when you get those goals. It's hard to really quantify how many wins you can get from that many goals because, it's really going to matter. It's really going to depend on when those goals are happening, what games those goals are happening in, right? If they all happen in one goal games, obviously it makes a huge difference. The point being, if he can get there next year, if he can regress a little bit back towards that average shooting percentage, this team's going to look a lot different just on that alone. Right? I'm not even considering anybody else taking a step forward in that. Just if everything goes exactly the way it did this year and Cole Caulfield goes back to, let's say, 13% shooting, this team is going to look extremely different. So that's a huge silver lining there in Cole Caulfield, that he's been able to do this despite having his absolute worst year for shooting luck. And the thing there is, if you go look at NHL Edge, I think I talked about this in at least one of the last couple of episodes, they have him shooting the puck harder than he ever has. So his velocity is better than it's ever been. He's just not finding the control. And I think, you know, over the offseason, if he can fine-tune that a little bit, we could be looking at a very different Cole Caulfield next year. We could be looking at much better results for him. And much better results for him are going to mean much better results for the Montreal Canadiens. So there's reason to get excited about that big time. And of course, we do have to single out the performance of Samuel Montembeau. I would be pretty comfortable saying that that game could have been, 3-1, 2-1 at least going into the third period, if not for Samuel Montembeau. I think 3-1 would be pretty fair. And I'm not even saying like if he played badly, if he just had like an average night, they could have been up 2-3-1. At the end of the second period, and they weren't, because he was a lot better than average. He was dialed in that game. He looked like he wanted to play spoiler to the New York Islanders playoff hopes all by himself. And man, it's a treat to watch him when he's at the top of his game, because he, I've said this before, has that Carey Price-esque ability to make very tough saves look easy with his positioning. Tracks the puck really well, and he just so happens to have that athleticism to come across and make big saves on two-on-ones or cross-ice passes. He's a gamer, and it's been fun to watch him come into his own with the Montreal Canadiens after being a waiver pickup. He might be at some point passing Paul Byron for the greatest waiver wire pickup in Montreal Canadiens history. I don't know, but he's definitely on his way to that. If he could figure out a way to if the team rather can figure out a way to get themselves into the playoffs next season, and he can maybe steal a couple of key games and win them around, then that would do it. Because, of course, I think everybody remembers Paul Byron's ridiculous goal from his knees against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. It's the stuff of legends, and it's the stuff that waiver wire legends must complete in order to top another waiver wire legend. So great game from Samuel Montembeau. Would have been my silver lining of the night if not for how excited I am about Cole Caulfield turning things around late in the season here and showing us a glimpse of what we might see next year. Outside of those two, even though, you could argue the New York Islanders controlled most of that game and probably, deserved a regulation win out of it, there were still some performances that I really liked. And I want to start with Mike Matheson, who got his 50th assist of the season on Cole Caulfield's goal. He was the one that passed it to Johnny Kovacevic. And now sits at 59 points on the year, which not only is a runaway career year for him, it's the best year he's ever had by a sight. And it also brings him just a point away from a 60-point season, which not many guys have actually done in a Montreal Canadiens uniform. Larry Robinson did it a bunch of times. Guy Lapointe did it a few times. Chris Chelios did it a couple of times. Mark Streit did it once. And You know, outside of like Larry Robinson and Guy Lapointe, there's not a whole lot of guys that did it regularly. Andre Markov did it once as well. He's putting himself among elite company in Montreal Canadiens history with a 60-point season. Really not something that's been done a whole ton of times and not something that you see a ton in the NHL in general. So what does that mean, right? I've talked about this ad nauseum at this point on the podcast. I really don't know what happens with the defense next season. They've got to move some guys. They just don't have enough space for some of the young talent coming up. If Mike Matheson is on the move, he's going to get a king's ransom. Like, people are going to pay up for that kind of production that he's showing right now. But he also might make some other guys expendable. You know, your David Savards, your Johnny Kovaceviches. it's gonna open up some doors. So I'm actually super excited for this offseason. I'm sad the season's about to end and we only got three games left. But I am super excited for the offseason because Kent Hughes has some wheeling and dealing to do. Probably going to be in the territory of a top five pick, or certainly in the top 10 at the very least. There will be a lot that could happen this offseason, and just exploring the possibilities in the offseason is going to be fun. Never mind when Kent Hughes actually gets down to business and starts moving some guys, because I think he will, and I think it could be a transformative offseason for the Montreal Canadiens. But that said, Mike Matheson, the way he's playing, I honestly would like to see him stick around. He's a fun player, and he just puts up points, man. Outside of Matheson, look, it was a bit of a tough game for them, but some players still played well. Nick Suzuki played really well. Juraj Slafkovský, just an absolute beast in front of the net, man. He goes there and just bullies guys around. Like, that goal, the Jordan Harris one, it doesn't happen without Slafkovský's presence in front of the net. He just shoved a defender out of the way and then stood there, got big, and completely took the vision away from Semyon Varlamov. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, if you go out and you get a really big forward in the draft, you're kind of hoping that that's precisely the kind of role that he can fill at times, which is just get in front of the net and make things a little bit dirty, make things a little bit grimy, make it difficult for the goaltender to see and make it difficult for the defenders to do anything other than hope that you don't get a tip on it. And, you know, he came close to getting a tip on that one. It could have been another goal for him. But look, I'm happy with him just doing the right things out there. I don't need him to put up a pile of points. I want him to keep doing the right things, the small things, the little intricate details of the game well. And I think that as long as he continues to do those, it's going to keep snowballing into better and better and better seasons for him. He's really opened a lot of eyes this year, and you know, he's playing like a gigantic force, and we got to love that as fans. It was a very rough night statistically at 5-on-5 for the Canadiens. They got run over possession-wise. New York really had the puck on their sticks a lot more often. But one thing I noticed, and I mentioned it a few times in the recap there, they were very tentative. You could tell they didn't really want to go up ice with it very much, and that's why it was low event. It was almost like they were content to just rag the puck and just kill clock. And they thought the Montreal Canadiens were just going to go away and step aside for them to take the win that they needed. And that didn't happen. The Habs were skating with them at the very least. Second period, not so much. I would argue that the second period was pretty rough for the Montreal Canadiens, but it's been a rough period for them all year long. Second period has been their worst period by a sight. So it's not surprising that against a team that's really in need of a win and in a playoff position at the time of the game would dominate them in the second period in particular. So that didn't really stick out as too surprising for me. You'd like to see the Habs with maybe a better effort at 5-on-5. You'd like to see them maybe controlling possession a little bit more than they did, but I thought they showed some good fight in that game. And, they showed some literal fight in that game with Brendan Gallagher going with Bejo. Really a weird fight. Not something I expected to see, but again, part of the Habs having a little bit of bite back at the end of their season there, and I do enjoy seeing that, because you don't want to fall into the pit of despair of, you know, just getting pushed around by better teams towards the end of the year, teams that are pushing to get into the playoffs, and you just let them kick your ass up and down the ice. They got outpossessed in that game, but they didn't let the Islanders kick their ass up and down the ice, which is something that you can fall into at the end of a season like that when you're in the bottom five of the league. So I'm going to close this one out now, but first let's just talk about what's left, right? There are three more games. We've got Saturday, and that's a big one for Tank Nation. The Habs are going to be playing in Ottawa against the Senators. So a big portion of this fan base is going to be cheering for them to lose that game, and with good reason. I think neither of those teams, right, the players, are not going to want to lose that game. So we might be treated to a very violent and very entertaining game between those two teams. Unfortunately, Arbor Jacki won't be available, because that would have been so sweet to see him maybe finally get his chance to punch Brady Tkachuk in the face. But it's not going to happen. I think that we could look at that game and we can expect some fireworks. Neither of those teams are going to the playoffs, and I think they're going to play like it is their playoffs. I think, as I said, a lot of our fans are probably going to be cheering for the Habs to lose that one. I understand why, but I think, you know, for me personally, I'm just going to sit back and expect a really nice hockey game, and whatever happens, happens. After that, they've got a home-and-home against the Detroit Red Wings. So next Monday, that is, they'll be in Detroit, and then next Tuesday, they'll come immediately back for a back-to-back. It's a back-to-back home-and-home at that, and they'll be playing their final game of the year against the Red Wings at the Bell Center. The Red Wings are probably... They might need until their very last game to actually be eliminated from contention. So I think they're going to play those games very hard. I think I'm kind of expecting two losses for the Habs in those games. I guess we'll see. Maybe they get one of them. I don't know. But either way, we are quickly approaching the end of the season. And we'll still have plenty of content for you coming on the channel, regardless. We're still going to have regular absent-minded. We're probably going to start focusing on the draft a whole lot more and Canadians prospects if they are still playing in their respective playoffs. So we'll try to bring lots of content for you guys. That's it for this one. We're running a little bit over 20 minutes, under 21 minutes. Alors, c'est une grosse soirée pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I'd appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you, as always, for listening. And of course, à la prochaine.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.